Hello, welcome to Spotlight, beaming artistic joy through the wind and rain.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
This evening, we hear about a new Celtic noir film from a well-known island filmmaker. A drag brunch in time for Valentine's, a unique celebration of your mother tongue. More about the Hilary Adams Poetry Corner, and if you're wanting to take part in the Guild, closing date for entries is this weekend. Remember, do get in touch with any creative artistic endeavours you might be involved in, planning, hoping to create, or would really like to, yes, you know, put in the spotlight. Poetry, well, lots of it at the moment. Theatrical, musical, literary, ceramic, sculpture, drag, film. Drag's on again, yeah, mime, social media, digital. Calligraphy, do with more of that. Howard Kane at manxradio.com, that's Kane with an E. Spotlight at manxradio.com. Get in touch, let's get you out there. You're probably online, get on the radio as well. A packed programme, no time to yak. Dave Armstrong of Dam Productions, that's D-A-M, I'm not swearing, is well known on the Isle of Man as, well, take your pick, producer, studio supremo, musician, documentary maker, author, and of course filmmaker. His latest project, Catch, sees him don the last two hats. Described as a short Celtic noir film, we'll delve a bit more into that next week, it's also being worked as a proof of concept for a TV series and a yet-to-be-published novel. Well, when Dave dropped by recently, he told me it had been a long time in gestation, like a lot of these projects, and in fact predates an earlier novel people might have been aware of, The Clearing.
I'd started this project before The Clearing, but I got stuck on some silly thing in the plot and then thought, I'll just put that to one side and it'll work itself out. But they never do. You've got to get back and work at it really hard. I mean, I do have to say, though, I mean, above all, as a local filmmaker, is what I said before, is the amount of support. And of course, because of the situation we're in the Isle of Man, looking for new and novel ways to help and encourage filmmaking, because we don't have the weight of the funds to support film the way that the tax breaks are on offer in Ireland, in the UK, in Australia and Canada. We have to think of good ways to do it, but the way we can sell the Isle of Man is it's an efficient place to work, and part of that is the support we get. Obviously, I was really fortunate. The Arts Council were very, very supportive because it's not a cheap business. Anyone that says, oh yeah, you can make a film for no budget, you've got to feed your actors. You've got to, you know, transport them around and support the whole production. So having that support here and other filmmakers who might be listening, please contact the Arts Council if you have a project. They have a fund. And if the project, obviously, it's got to reach a certain standard,
yeah, of course,
hopefully. I have to say that because obviously I hope I've reached a certain standard. but they are out there to support. And obviously, we want to encourage more creatives on the island to get out there with their cameras and tell some stories and show off this wonderful island.
Entirely, entirely. And so I suppose the question is now, what now then? So there's a launch coming up and a sort of preview and a chance to see it. But what are the plans? You hinted at before what you're hoping to perhaps achieve with this. But what's the sort of short-term future for the project, for the film? And of course, people are about to hear this and say, yeah, well, where can I see it?
Well, if anyone's been following other filmmakers online, they'll have noticed Ben Desmond's been doing great.
Brilliant.
with his short in the festival circuit. That's where we're heading next. We'll get it out to the festival circuit. Obviously, because it's a proof of concept as well, I've finished the draft of the novel, which is now sort of hanging around in the ether to be pulled apart by some friends and readers who'll go, nah. And so I'm going to finish the final tweaks of that because, as with the previous project, I like to run the projects the medium in parallel, the novel, the film. And then I'm developing a pitch deck for a multi-part series. And of course, look, I'm not naive. These things, you know, even if it's the best project in the world, they don't always just, you know, you shake a tree and there's 25,000 projects fall out of that tree. So you've really got to get it a compelling offer to the industry. I think the Isle of Man's a unique location, and I think that would be part of the sell. I can't promise that the whole production would be shot here. If we're dealing with co-producers, they'll probably say, well, look, we can get tax breaks here, but the point of having local filmmakers and local producers develop projects, they'll work for the benefit of the island, and we'll get as much shot here as we can, because you can't recreate the Calf of Man anywhere else, really. You can recreate a lighthouse, but they're unique locations, and I think we're underserved in terms of televisual and certainly the sort of current crop of output. And, you know, we've watched Shetland, we've watched TV series that are shot in different regions, and I think the Isle of Man's underserved. And I think that it's time we were fully served.
Quite right, too. People can see you can sort of see little bits online if people want to sort of see what it's all about, see the crew, sort of behind-the-scenes stuff.
Catchthriller.com. And I will be putting some more snippets out and doing some more blogs. I'd started, you know what it's like with these. If you finish and you think, I'm going to do a blog a week. And then you think, no, I've actually got to edit the thing and complete it. So I'll be putting out some more snippets. Eventually, once it's done the festival circuit, I'll probably have it free to view so that anyone can just watch it. But obviously, because it's got to go through the festival circuit, you can't just do that.
Do it first.
And, you know, we've got a screening coming up, but that's obviously cast and crew, private screening. And so it'd be great to get some feedback. And obviously that'll feed back into if there are any tweaks in the edit or tweaks that I need to make. But eventually, you'll all see it, and you can all slag me off.
And we'll hear much more about Catch next week, and how passionate Dave is about trying to develop film or TV work on the Isle of Man and utilise local talent as far as possible in every aspect of filmmaking, from acting and camera work to costume, music and catering. Can't act on an empty stomach. Speaking of Manx, it is, of course, the year of the Manx language, a celebration of the Isle of Man's original mother tongue, native mother tongue, and the breadth of its influence on Manx culture. All sorts of events taking place over the next 12 months to mark this, and coming up fast on the rails, UNESCO International Mother Languages Day celebration on Saturday the 21st of February, which, as its name suggests, invites communities to celebrate their native tongue. Well, I asked Culture Van and Zier of the Manx Language Coordinator, Tiffany Carouche, if this event was a first for the Isle of Man.
Yes, that's right. We think that it's quite possibly the first time the Isle of Man will have seen a public event to commemorate International Mother Language Day. So we're very excited to be organising it this year. And it's all come about because it is Year of the Manx Language, Bléana Gaeilge, which your listeners may already know a little bit about. This is one of the first events that we're putting on as part of a suite of events throughout the year, and Culture Vanin are getting together with Munja Vega, and we're going to be putting on an International Mother Languages Day celebration party, maybe you could call it that, at the Promenade Methodist Church in Douglas.
So what's actually going to be happening then?
Well, we actually aren't entirely sure.
That's an honest answer.
This is the first time we've tried to organise something like this. So it's actually incredibly open in our minds about how the day and the celebration will come together. But what's really important is that we want to reach out to anybody listening who is from a different language community on the Isle of Man. We know that the Isle of Man has possibly hundreds of different nationalities living, working here on the island. And we are very keen to invite everybody to get in touch with us to come and make this celebration come to life. The idea is that we will share elements of the Manx language and culture in amongst everybody else's languages and culture through different activities throughout the day, and it's all for fun. It's you don't have to have any experience of being to one of these events before or any experience of demonstrating your language before. It's all about coming together. We will help facilitate some workshops. We will introduce ourselves. There'll be lots of mingling. There'll be games. There'll be exchanging songs, maybe some dances. And then at the end, we'll come together and everybody can share everything possibly in a little concert at the end. Maybe we'll just see how the day comes about. But it's all about coming along and being part of it and introducing and making new friends.
So you don't necessarily need to be a performer or a poet or an actor or actress, or whatever, just an interest, and obviously in the Manx language and also in your own mother tongue, whether that's German or French or Filipino or whatever the case may be.
Yes, that's right. You don't have to be a performer. Obviously, it would be lovely if there are some people out there that sing songs or perform any kind of dance or anything from their native culture. But we're just interested in meeting anybody who wants to come along, introduce themselves, introduce their language. We're going to be creating a language tree where we can collect phrases in different languages, and it would just be fascinating actually to see how many different languages we can collect on the day and see where the day takes us. We did a very successful Munja Vega, to be fair, did a very successful little event last week with the Filipino community on the island.
Which is quite sizable, isn't
it? Yeah, I didn't realise until last week. I learned so much because I went along to the event, and there's about 2,000 around people in the Filipino community on the island, and a good number came down last week to NOAA, and we had an evening where we demonstrated some Manx culture. There was a little bit of history about the Isle of Man, because some people that have moved here and maybe haven't been here for very long don't know an awful lot about Manx culture or the history of the Isle of Man. So it was a really nice way of demonstrating some of that. We did some dancing. The Peri Ben dancers came in and did some Manx dancing. And then there was mingling with different food from the Philippines and from the Isle of Man. So there was some traditional baked Manx bonnag there for people to
always
try.
Good.
And then some of the delegates from the Filipino community then were able to take the stage, and they talked a little bit about Filipino culture, which was fascinating. You know, I learnt, for example, that there are almost 1,000 islands in the Philippines. I had absolutely no idea. And that there's many different languages spoken there, but they have one unifying language. We learnt some really interesting bits of culture, and then some of them had got together and learned to dance. None of them are dancers, but they'd put together a little dance showing something that is very personal to their country, and they showed a little bit of video as well, and it was just a really heartwarming evening, and everyone came away having learned something new and having made some new connections. So it was lots of fun.
Sounds like a great idea, doesn't it? Now, if you want to find out more about what's happening in the Year of the Manx Language, you can visit the What's On calendar, all the W's, of course, yearofmanx.im, for everything happening under the Blenda Gilger banner during the year. Whilst I remember, still with my Manx hat on, wish I knew the word for hat in Manx, there's an open evening tomorrow, Thursday, the 29th of April, at the Athol Room in the Peel Centenary Centre for the new Solon Theatre project. Now, this open evening will be taking place between 7 and 9 p.m. We heard from Aileen about Solon a week or two back here on Spotlight. She says it's going to be a very informal event, giving anyone who's interested really a chance to find out more about the Solon project and maybe see how they would like to get involved. A few of the attendees will be giving a taste of their work between 7:30 and 8:30 tomorrow evening. The bar will be open. Soft drinks are available, no doubt. See you there, perhaps.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
We heard last week how a new poetry corner is being opened just round the corner in Peel at the Ward Library at the end of this month. It's based on the poetry book collection of the late poet and academic Hilary Adams. And I asked her daughter Kate Kirk when she came into the studio if there was going to be an official opening of the corner.
Da, da, da. Yes, there is. Yeah. So exciting.
All sorts.
So that is on the Saturday, the 31st, and that's at 1600 hours, 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Sorry, I used 24-hour clock.
Well, very clear. You can't go wrong with a 24-hour
exactly.
clock.
Exactly. And so that will take a wee time just to celebrate opening, and Stacey's going to speak, Roz is going to speak, and I hope Rebecca will just say why it was important to come to the Ward Library. She's been such a star and has so many ideas. And we've got ideas now that we've got this space about enabling people to come and have some workshops. It's towards the end of February. Okay. And we're going to do befriending poetry. Just talking about how do we get into this? You know, what does it mean? After that, the library closes at 5 and we'll be making our way to the Sailor's Shelter and we're going to have an open mic session for 1 or 2 hours. There'll be cake, there'll be cups of tea, you know, refreshment. And thank you to Keith Horn, who's the guy at the Sailor's Shelter, for letting us come and have that space. So handy for the library. It's just down the end of the road.
Cake, tea, poetry. What's not to like?
I know, exactly. It's just going to be a ball.
And what about your love of poetry then? Because you say you're a poet as well. Did that come directly from your mum?
I absolutely, completely. I wrote a poem. She reignited, because I hadn't done any for a while. In fact, in my PhD, I had a whole collection of metaphors and I made them into poetic form. And it was just lovely in this sort of highly academic, complex piece of work to have poetry to relieve the reader and to release something that enables you just to think, that's what they're talking about. And poetry does that. You know, it touches people's lives and hearts.
It does. And again, it's sort of, as often we often have poets on the programme here, and it's a case of someone said, you know, there's nothing, you can't go wrong in poetry. People either like it or they don't like it. But really, you can write what you want in whatever form you want.
Yeah.
And the chances are, like songs, it'll touch someone somewhere.
Yes, exactly.
But again, it all fascinates me that there's all sorts of reasons for writing poetry. For some people, it's cathartic. Yeah. For other people, they're just inspired by the beauty of something or inspired by loss. And it is an amazing art form to get into if you've never tried it before.
Exactly, exactly. And I think that's what we hope the workshops down at the Ward Library in Peel, we hope that that'll trigger people to think, oh, do you know, I think I can do that. I can string some words together that make them happy or make them feel like they've touched something important. And, you know, and then they can move on. They may never show it. They may never share it. And it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter.
And that is another fascinating aspect I find as well, exactly that. And you find some people have been writing poetry for sometimes their entire lives.
Yeah.
They've never actually shared it with anyone or performed it. And there's a big difference between writing it, I think, and then sharing it or performing it with others.
There is. Well, I have to own up to the first time that I attended an open mic was down at down in Port Erin. And a Forage of Vintners, isn't it? The place there. And Saoirse had set it up. And I thought, right, I'm going to write, because I wrote a poem after Stacey and I went through all these books. And I thought, I'm going to talk about the story about my mum leaving us 337, because it's just such a phenomenal number. And so this poem had come anyway. And I thought, I'm going to introduce my mum's poem. So I read one of hers. And then I read the one about just going through her poetry and what that meant, including all the dust. She was 96 when she died, so she had a phenomenal amount of not only poetry books. As an English teacher, she had hundreds.
Yeah, I can imagine. So Hilary Adams' Poetry Corner, you can check it out down at the Ward Library in Peel. Grand opening on the 31st, and then you can go along to the poetry reading afterwards. But the Poetry Corner itself will be there to provide inspiration for hopefully generations to come, as they say.
I hope so. Yes.
We're talking poetry, so you've got a poem there of Hilary's.
Yes, I have. And this is one of the humorous ones. A scarcity of T-shirts. Never climbed the Himalayas. Led a demo. Asked a guest on a television chat show. Never conquered Everest. Never rode a bucking bronco. Caught a salmon. Panned for gold. Never dropped by parachute. Or abseiled down Big Ben. I'm old now. Too late to try scapegoat, keep a lobster for a pet. Never been there, never done that, never got the T-shirt. Yet, looking back, I have had my moments facing challenges galore. Though old age is far from humdrum, don't want T-shirts anymore.
So that opening event for the Hilary Adams Poetry Corner, Saturday, 31st of January, 4 p.m, followed by an open mic at the Sailor's Shelter. And don't forget the first poetry workshop at the Ward Library Peel, Saturday the 28th of February from 1:30 to 4 p.m, Befriending Poetry. Come along and have a go. Why not? Have a go?
is what hundreds of people do every year in the annual celebration of artistic competition, which is the Manx Music, Speech and Dance Festival, known by generations simply as The Guild. It might still be a way off, Saturday the 25th of April, the first day if you're wondering, but if you haven't put your entry in yet, get your skates on. Closing date for entries this very weekend, as newly appointed chair of the MMSD, or Guild, John Riley, confirmed.
Very much so. In fact, this Saturday, the entries need to be in 31st of January. Might seem rather early with the January, but it's usually about this time that the entries are submitted. And I'm sure it's going to be the usual that they'll be delivered on the day or sent on the day. But of course, it is easier now because you can do it by email. You can do it online, which makes life a lot easier.
And of course, we should also say there are no late entries, and that you missed the deadline, I'm afraid that's it for this year.
Exactly, yes. We have to be very strict. Otherwise, you can say, well, you can have another day or another week. And so it goes on and on. So I'm afraid we have to stick to that date, midnight this Saturday.
Midnight on Saturday. And as you say, paper ones are still accepted, but perhaps at this stage, you might be well advised to go online to the website and you can do it online.
Yes, that would be the best. Certainly, I wouldn't trust doing it by post. It might not reach by the time of the Guild, the way things are at the moment.
Absolutely right. Now, just more generally, as I say, you've recently taken over from Anne as chair of the Manx Music Festival. It's a challenging role, I suppose, because the sort of Guild is deeply embedded in Manx culture.
Well, it is when you consider how long it's been going since 1892. And probably one of the only festivals of such magnitude that's still in existence in the British Isles. So it's quite an achievement, really. And it's gone from strength to strength. There have been moments when we've wondered how much longer it continue. And then it's picked up and we've had some excellent entries. And we've keep looking and seeing what new things we could bring in, what new competitions, ideas, suggestions. So we're always looking for these things.
Don't say I didn't warn you. We'll talk more to John about taking on that role next week. Last but by no means least this week, Valentine's Day's coming up. And just before that, the latest lunchtime celebration of drag, featuring the cream of the island's drag community, will be at Kiki Valentine's Drag Brunch. Owen, a.k.a. your host, Fenella Beach, and Ashton, a.k.a. producer Nona Binary, came by with all the info. And I asked Owen that, whilst it didn't seem that long ago we were talking about the first drag brunch, we were now to number, what, 6, 7, 8? Can't remember.
Oh, more than that. More than that. Many. Yes, who knows? We don't keep count. it's just, yeah, it's, who knows? It's, we've been going for a couple of years now. So, on and off, just kind of when the time is right and when we feel we can get the party going.
Because I know initially when you did the first one, you said, well, it's a bit of an experiment sort of doing this sort of thing at lunchtime rather than in the evening when you might be more traditionally thinking of going to sort of burlesque or sort of drag shows. But it obviously has worked.
Yeah, no, absolutely, for sure. Yeah. We've found that people like to come out during the day. You know, not everyone wants to go out for a night out. Not everyone wants to see a show that starts at 10, 11, 12 at night, and some people want to come party during the day, and we love that, and we support it, and we provide.
The daytime crew are fun as well. Honestly,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
The reception it's gotten is better than we could have imagined.
Really?
People do love coming out for it.
I was going to say, do you get a daytime crew rather than an evening crew? Are they separate or the same bunch or a mix? Or
there are some people, we have some very loyal fans who come to everything, and we appreciate them greatly. We have some people who will prefer to come out at night. Some people will prefer to come out during the day. So there's definitely different crowds, but there's also people who are just fans of drag who can see it any time of day, and those are our favourite people.
So next one coming up on the 7th of February, Kiki's Extra Fancy Galentine's Drag Brunch. Sounds
good.
Yes,
indeed, yes. So we wanted to... So yeah, it's the week before Valentine's Day because we thought that people might have actual plans on Valentine's Day. We wanted to give people a chance to come and party, whether you're, whether you're in a relationship or whether you're single and having some fun. either or is all good with us. You know, we're performing some songs that are a bit more like love, some bit more like heartbreak, and like, you know, all of that. So yeah, all kinds of all themes of love will be covered, and all people will be catered for.
Single, taken, gay, straight, there will be something for you.
Something for everyone.
Yeah, I promise.
Yeah. And you've got your producer's hat on here, then, Ashton. Are you actually in it as well, or just doing production?
Yes, I am in it as well. But I think the reason why I sort of earned the title after a little while is because I was doing a little bit more of the running around and organising and helping things sort of mm-hmm. come to fruition. So yeah, truly, it's an honour to have my own separate space. I love taking the producer role and putting on the hat. I think it fits quite well.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, you edited this poster as well, so there you go.
Graphic design is also my passion.
Yeah.
Brilliant. So obviously you're in it, Fenella's in it, you're in it, Lady Isabella, and Dahlia. Dahlia's a new name on me, or am I missing? Have I just not heard that one before?
So we've had her before, I think, once at drag. We had her at ABBA Drag Brunch. You may know her as Harley. Previously teen drag queen who was doing some kind of like youth pride events and stuff going on. But they're 18 now, so up, you know, partying with us in the club as well.
They also performed in the drag category of the first drag section of the guild. And
yes.
They were really excellent there too.
Yeah,
you could recognise them from seeing them.
That's true, yes.
Around there too.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And this one again, so tickets are £15 or £25. Is that with food then, is it? Or
yes, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. So we got a package with food. And then or without food. Every ticket includes your first drink. So so if you're, you know, If you're feeling like you want to go crazy, you can come here and you can do a bit of day drinking with us. But if you just want to keep it light and keep it calm, you know, we have people who come who don't drink as well. So all options are covered. But yeah, we highly recommend the food. We never get to eat it because we're in drag and we're performing and we're dancing around. But it always looks delicious.
I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah,
you don't get to eat. Funnily enough, I had someone staying with me over Christmas who went for a drink and a bite at Kiki's and came back singing its praise about mm-hmm. how good the food was.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, I've never eaten there either, but he said, it's really great. He'd even taken the menu back. Said, look at this, it's really good.
Yeah, we feel so lucky to be in partnership with Kiki's for so long. They are amazing there. And yeah, their menu zines are so cool as well.
Yeah.
Always something to look out for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, do you sort of do the drag brunches? Is it sort of sporadic? Is it a case of you get a bit of inspiration for the next one? Obviously, this one, Galentine's themed. Do you wait for inspiration to strike, or how does it actually work when it comes to planning each one coming up?
We like to kind of theme them around. Yeah, times of year are always really good. So yeah, Valentine's is just such a great time of year to and such a great theme for a drag show as well. But then sometimes, you know, we like to space them out, you know, leave the people wanting more a little bit. It's always nice, yeah, to kind of let the people know. So yeah, no more than once every couple of months kind of thing, you know, to keep people on the edge of their seats.
Also, we're always planning other things, doing other shows around the island. So we are very booked and busy. So I think that whenever we find moments that are free for drag brunch, it always feels like it's something that we want to do because they are so much fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, as true clowns, we're spinning a lot of plates. But whenever we can, we will we'll be putting on more.
Love that.
I like that. You were mentioning there, it's open to all, you try and encourage everyone. Do you get a mixed audience? Do you get gay, straight, single, double? You know,
absolutely, yes. So there are people who come to every single show, and that's amazing. And there are people, we get new people every time. I think typically, like for brunch, like one of the good things is like if some people are a little older and don't necessarily want to come to the club, they can come down. But we also get really young people as well. So it's definitely a mix, yeah.
I think brunch as well is a great opportunity for people who have children.
Yeah.
They want to be able to go out and do stuff. But it's much easier to find a sitter during the day.
Yeah.
So like one of my friends has a child and she can come to brunch. It's one of the only times she can kind of see us perform. So yeah, I think it's just such a great accessible slot for people who want to do these things but don't always have the time.
Yes.
Yeah. So. And do they dress for the brunch ones or not?
Again, it's mixed, but a lot of people do. A lot of people get their sequins on, or you know, like put on their little fancy outfit. It's no pressure. It's not necessarily. Yeah. You don't have to dress up, but
we will do that for you.
Yeah, absolutely. But people definitely can take the inspiration. We love that.
Brilliant. How do people get in touch then? If they're thinking, yeah, wouldn't mind giving this a whiz? Can they turn up at the door? Do you need to order in advance?
Oh yeah, so it's all pre-booked. But if you just go to my social media or Nona's or Kiki's. So if you get it's at Fenella Beach at Nona Binary or at Kiki's.lounge on like all social media will be plastered all the links everywhere.
Brilliant. Well, it sounds great. Go along there, check it out if you've not been before, and we'll be talking again soon, I have no doubt.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thanks for having us here.
Don't say there's nothing to do on the Isle of Man ever. That's about it for this week. See you next week when we'll be hearing about the Poetry Trail 2026, among other joys. In the meantime, be good, whatever you're doing, be creative about it. Hey, Mo.